Well, the radio exhibition in May is to celebrate or commemorate the 30th anniversary of the introduction of the 1988 Wireless Telegraphy Act, which basically brought an end to the pirate era, the major pirate era of the 80s, 70s and 80s. The exhibition will start in the South Dublin County Library in Talla, right beside the Lewis stop, on May 8th, which is a Tuesday. It'll be on every day. And throughout the month of May at the weekends, we hope to have lectures and talks on various aspects of pirate radio from some of those who were involved with pirate radio at the time. The exhibition is basically tells the story of pirate radio from its very inception in 1916 all the way through to 1988 with the closures. And we have a lot of memorabilia that has been donated to us, including pens, mugs, car stickers, buttons, rate cards, advertising rate cards from various stations, including Sunshine, Q102, Bineside, ERI. It's basically just to give a flavour of the social impact pirate radio had in Ireland throughout the 80s.
Tell us a little bit about some of these highlights then in the exhibition in your mind, some of the material that you've mentioned. What would stand out in your mind as being particularly important, as a particularly good illustration of how influential these stations were?
Well, if you look at the rate cards, the advertising rate cards from all the stations, I mean, you have to remember these were illegal and they were competing with RTE, who were certainly able to increase their advertising sales as their ratings went up. But pirate radio had a different set of plans. The advertising rate cards, first of all, you can see it's like social history. The price of what an ad was, and you can actually, will show you how you can compare to what RTE were charging at the time. But they were very professional. The advertising rate cards are professional. You could get a professionally produced advertisement. They had production studios. They had various plans of whether you could take 30 seconds over 1 month, 1 week, 6 months. And they show that while they were illegal, they were very solidly founded as pirate radio.
How do they compare to RTE in terms of rates? Obviously, you weren't comparing like with like. RTE is national. Some of these were very local stations, but at the same time, they had very high listenership in their areas, many of them.
Well, Radio Nova in 1982, Lansdowne Market Research done a survey, which was one of the early surveys to include pirate radio. RTE Radio 2 had 24% listenership. Sunshine Radio, a pirate radio, had 11% in Dublin, while Radio Nova had 41% listenership. And in fact, in late 1982, towards the Christmas period of 82, Radio Nova were charging more per advertising segment than RTE were.
And RTE Radio 2?
Yeah. So, like, you know, so pirate radio, you know, there was money to be made, the listenership was there. They obviously displayed a need for commercial legal radio, which eventually came after 88. But these stations brought pressure on RTE from an advertising point of view because their ratings were down. They were losing them to pirate radio. Pirate radio were able to up their advertising rates because they could prove they had the listenership. And it became a cat and mouse game between RTE and the pirates to try RTE trying to force the government to close the pirates, which eventually came about in 1988.
So there's a lot of memorabilia involved in this. Do you make much use of press cuttings explaining the ups and downs from a news point of view at the time?
The press cuttings, not so much. It's more about the memorabilia, the physical memorabilia. Today, with internet, it's easy enough to look up a press cutting. We do have some that probably wouldn't have seen from foreign newspapers, from the British newspapers about pirate radio at the time. We do have a section of newspaper clippings from around December 31st, the 31st, 1988, which announces the closure of the pirates, how, you know, the likes of ERI and Midwest and some of the stations closed in Dublin and Wexford and all over the country.
Which was closed. Big news, of course, at the time.
Front page news. This was front page news. Pirate radio was an integral part of the Irish broadcasting scene. It was an integral part of social history in Ireland. Across the nation, some pirates down the country had massive listenership. And it continues today. Some of the pirates have gone on to have legal status, still have huge listenership down the country, whether it's in Donegal or in Mayo or in Galway. So the genesis for them came from pirate radio in the early 80s and mid 80s. When they closed, it was front page news. It was the headline news on RT News Television.
And obviously, in a pre-internet age, things were very different, but many of the stations, of the larger stations, produced their own magazines.
They did. We have a lot of the collection of some of the magazines, like so the Sunshine Review, which was produced in 1983, when actually Sunshine was off the air, when they were closed in May 1988, which is described as the day the music died, when the government closed many of the stations in mass raids, and Nova and Sunshine and down around the country, some closed as a precaution. But Sunshine brought out a Sunshine Review, two or three issues of that, just to keep their listeners up to date of what was going on. There was pieces written by some of the DJs. We have Radio Dublin's magazine, which was produced in the 70s, the 253 magazine. We have Anorax Ireland, their magazine. We have the Irish Free Radio News.
And these were, of course, groups that were for enthusiasts of the radio at the time.
Yeah, they were enthusiasts. They were partly enthusiasts, partly advertising. FRC Ireland had Sounds Alternative out, which is many people's research bible. They go back to that. It was the first time, perhaps in the 70s, it came out. Dennis Murray and that were bringing it out. Or Kieran Murray, should I say. But they were... again, lack of internet age, and because that kind of area wouldn't be covered by regular newspapers or regular media, this was a way for enthusiasts to find out what was going on within radio. It's also a place where you could buy a transmitter.
Indeed, very important information. And are these available at all in any other public places? Is it possible to get these kind of publications in any libraries in Ireland, or are you really relying on personal collections? Because they are very important from a researcher's point of view.
I know the Sounds Alternative magazines are available in the National Library. You do have copies of that. The rest of them, no. It is in private collections. I was lucky enough over the years to be an enthusiast and to be collecting them. And I've been lucky that some of the lads who have donated collections to me had some issues of it that I didn't have. So I was able to put them all together in a section just to give a flavour of... You know, it wasn't just radio, that they were trying to be multimedia in a period when there was no internet.
You said as well that there's a panel about television, about pirate television, in the exhibition. It's something that maybe would be even less known than the pirate radio period, because the operators were perhaps more limited.
Yeah, there was several pirate stations, especially in the late 70s, early 80s. We had one of the more political versions of it was Telefisken og Gaeltachta, which went on the air in the late 70s, which was a part of the campaign to get what would become TG4 on the air. They went on the air in Rossmuck for a couple of nights. We had Channel 3 or Channel D in Dublin in the 1980s. Was fairly popular. Had a lot of repeats. They had their own programmes. They made their own programmes like Weekend Today. Showed films, and we have various clips of that. There was Radio Nova Television, which really forced the hand of the government to clamp down on any attempt to put television on the air. Having seen the success of Radio Nova itself, and the government weren't going to allow television to come under the control of Chris Carey and Radio Nova.
This was the final straw.
It wasn't even the final straw. It was just another straw. It probably led to the 88 raids, one of the various aspects that led to the 88 raids. There was Cork Pirate Television with LTV1 and 2. LTV1 was in Macroom, LTV2 was in Mill Street. BBC, which was located in Galway. BBC spelled B-B-S-E-E. So BBC was in Sligo. Radio Dublin tried a test card. He actually managed to get a test card on the air for a couple of weekends, although it didn't go to live programming. And Capital Radio also had Capital TV. They managed to get a clock on the air as a way of trying to get on the air. And it was, in fact, I think it was Capital's TV transmitter that Chris Carey used to put Nova TV on the air.
What about the political aspect? Do you cover that at all in the exhibition? Obviously, there was a lot of politicking going on in the 70s and 80s, especially from 82, 83 onwards.
We don't cover a lot in the exhibition. Again, there is so much scope. We were trying to cover almost 100 years of pirate radio. We go back to political pirate radio insofar as the 1930s and the 1940s, some of the IRA pirate stations, especially even in the 50s. We tell the story of Sean McNeela, who was an IRA man who died on hunger strike, the only man to die on hunger strike anywhere in the world, having been convicted of pirate radio broadcasting, which he did do in 1939. He died in 1940. We tell some of the stories about a little bit of the tribunals and that, where it did affect, and go back to some of the pirate radio times. But again, trying to be non-political, we're trying to just tell the story. I'm sure we could, if we had more time, more space and more finances, we probably could tell a bigger story. But we're trying to use what we have at the moment.
And you said as well, there's obviously, you have a section that will be focusing on the so-called super pirates of the 1980s, and also that there are ways that people can listen to excerpts from those stations as well as part of the exhibition.
Yeah, so in especially because of the better audio from the time, in the 80s, the likes of Radio Nova and Sunshine and ERI, WLS, ABC, some of the bigger pirate radio stations, Radio West and Mullingar. So what you do is you're able to go to the exhibition and understand where we have the super pirates. We'll have a QR code, and you just scan your QR code and you're able to listen to the jingle packages from each of these pirate radio stations.
Great. So can you remind us again then where and when the exhibition is on, and if there are any plans then to bring it elsewhere at the moment?
Well, it'll initially start in May 8th, out in the South Dublin County Library. We then plan to take it to various Dublin City libraries between the end of the year and into 2019, which will be the 30th anniversary of the introduction of legal radio. It happened in July 1989. So we'll be telling the story that this was the genesis. This is where these stations came. These are the roots for the commercial stations we all listen to today. Still 85-90% of Irish people still listen to radio every day. So the genesis of those stations you listen to comes from pirate radio, and many of the personalities involved in radio today came from pirate radio. Big names like Mark Cagney in the TV AM, Ireland AM in the Morning, started on pirate radio. We have a section on that telling some of the people you may have heard of, Mark Cagney, Marty Whelan, who of course was Marty Hall on the radio, Tom Dorley, who was on The Restaurant. He started on pirate radio.
Really?
The man who does the voiceover for Mythbusters, Robin Banks, he started in Kilkenny, Chris Richardson. So their stories are all told. So we intend to hopefully take it around the country, because pirate radio is in every corner of the country. And we're hoping that perhaps libraries or educational institutions who'd like to see the exhibition come down for a week, 2 weeks, or even a month, just to get in touch with us, and we can take the library. It's easy, it's mobile, we're able to take it down, and we do a specific exhibition on the pirate radio in that locality. So if we're from Galway, we do the stations in Galway. If we're in Sligo, do the station in Sligo. Because we're in Tala, when we're starting off, we're doing a section on the station that we're located in Tala, the likes of Wonderland Radio.